Now to electric vehicles and whether this is the moment. Are we at a tipping point where sales of EVs will rival conventional gas vehicles? The recent launch of the F-150 Lightning has us wondering about Ford's approach. Do you want an electric car but worry about the charging options? Do you hope that the F-150 could change the industry? 800-642-1234 to join in. Jamie Page Deaton is executive editor of the U.S. News Best Cars team. Jamie, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Good morning. So we're wondering, with the F-150, people talking about whether this is the next chapter for electric, that this is one for the record books. Why should we care about this truck?
Well, this is one we should all care about because the F-150 is the best-selling vehicle in the United States. This is something, you know, Ford sells thousands of these, tens of thousands of these every year. It's a major profit center for Ford. And so the fact that they're confident enough to make it an EV speaks volumes about where Ford believes the industry is heading. And it also makes it an easily adoptable EV for a lot of people. You know, I think folks will think, oh, EVs, they feel like golf carts. They're small, they're cheap, they don't have very much power. But with the F-150 Lightning, what Ford is proving is, hey, you can have your cake and eat it too. You can have a fully electric vehicle that can tow, that can haul, that can go off-road, that is really, really fast. And so this is something that I think a lot of, you know, analysts within the industry were all really watching, because if Ford sells a lot of these, then what you're really going to see is a little bit more of a tipping point towards EVs in the broader culture. It's not going to be just about the early adopters. You know, it's going to be about mass market, regular everyday consumers driving EVs.
Well, tell us about the staying power of the F-150. I mean, this has been the best-selling vehicle in our country for 40 years, like from the Reagan era. Why has it stayed on top?
Well, there are a couple of reasons. One is that a lot of the sales are fleet sales. So okay. A lot of businesses really like this truck. But there's a lot of reasons, too, why businesses would go after the F-150 Lightning and maybe switch their fleets over to electric fleets. But the other reason is just that, you know, the F-150 has come in at a time when Americans just want trucks. Trucks have really evolved from work vehicles to lifestyle vehicles. And now if you get into an F-150, a gas-powered one, particularly if you go for some of the upper trims, they're luxury vehicles on the inside, and they're comfortable enough to drive every single day. And they're also, like I mentioned before, they're major profit centers, not just for Ford, but all truck makers, you know, the Chevy Silverado, the Ram 1500. Most of the trucks that people buy now cost well north of $60,000. And they're just gold mines for the automakers because, you know, the features that are in those trucks, the gas-powered trucks, aren't that expensive. So it's pure profit for them. But for most buyers, you know, a truck can do family duty. It can do daily duty. It can do date night duty because the interiors are so nice. It's just, if the last time you were in a pickup truck was, you know, back in the Reagan administration, you know, take another look at them because they're not your grandpa's trucks anymore.
Well, you know, Ford disclosed last week at its investor day that like 70,000 F-150 Lightning pickups have been ordered in the first 7 days it was available online. I mean, that would seem like pretty strong demand.
That's absolutely huge and very strong demand. Now, just to be clear, like the reservations, they only cost $100 and they're fully refundable. So if you change your mind later, you know, you can get your money back. But, you know, what's interesting about the F-150 Lightning is, you know, it's showing up, you know, by the numbers, there's not a lot of compromises. And when it comes to trucks, there are buyers that are really into, you know, their brand. Like I'm a Chevy truck buyer. I drive a Ram. I drive a Ford. But there are also buyers that really look at it by the numbers. And the Lightning comes in on par with not just base level trucks, but also the high performance trucks. So the base F-150 Lightning makes 426 horsepower, which is huge. But that is also in line with the Ford Raptor, which is their high performance truck, that makes 450 horsepower. Now, if you get the extra battery, the higher trim on the F-150 Lightning, you'll get 563 horsepower and 775 pound-feet of torque. That is really, really a lot of power for towing and hauling and a lot of speed. This thing does 0 to 60 in 4.4 seconds. Well, wow. You know, to put that in context, a base Porsche Carrera does 0 to 60 in 4 seconds. So you're talking 0.4 seconds slower than a Porsche. Now that's the base Porsche. The higher end Porsches will do it a lot faster, but that's a truck moving really, really fast. And it's got the towing and hauling capacity of, that's very similar to a gas powered F-150. So this is something that Ford has really developed to appeal to truck buyers. And even if they're a little bit hesitant about, an EV powertrain, if you look at the numbers, it's in line with what you'd get with a gas-powered truck.
Yeah, they're going head-to-head. Barry from Spooner on the issue of hauling capacity. Barry, go ahead.
Yes, I read up on the Lightning, and they released everything, how many miles it could travel on a charge, basically on an empty truck. But in cold weather, when you're hauling 5,000 pounds, you're a firewood or something like that, how long is it really going to drive?
Hmm. So the ranges that they have include hauling. They don't necessarily include like the cold weather and things like that, but you can expect usually when the weather is cold to take around 10 to 20% off your range on an EV. And so the maximum total payload on the F-150 is 2,000 pounds. And that's on the extended range model. And then that's on the base model. And then it's 1,800 pounds for the extended battery because the battery, adds some weight to that. And so you can expect to get, with the, extended battery, if you're hauling 1,800 pounds, you can expect to get around, 250, 230 miles of range there. The other thing that's really cool about it is Ford is putting scales in the bed. So you'll know when you've hit or come close to your payload capacity. I don't know if you've ever seen going down the road, people who have obviously too much in the back of their trucks. Like that's not a risk with the F-150 Lightning.
So Barry, what do you think? Are you a pickup truck owner now?
Yeah, actually I own an F-150.
Oh, you do?
And I use it as a truck in northwestern Wisconsin. So I'm very concerned about, on a 0-degree day, uh-huh, I'm out in the woods collecting firewood, that it's going to go 200 miles. It's going to go 100 miles.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly being out in the cold, extreme temperatures would be on Barry's mind. And certainly, Jamie, something to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as we get, kind of more real world testing and real world numbers coming out from this. So this, the F-150 Lightning is due as early as spring 2022, Ford says. Personally, I think that's optimistic because there's a major, chip shortage within the new car industry right now. But if you're a buyer like Barry, and you're interested in it, but you're also concerned on if it's going to work for you, give it a year or two, because in a year or two, we're going to know a lot more. You're going to be able to hop onto owners forums and ask like, hey, I haul firewood, well into the North Woods, is this truck going to work for me? And you'll be able to get a real world answer there.
Jamie Page Deaton, executive editor of the U.S. News Best Cars team. As we look at the future of electric vehicles, Ford is signaling it's going all in on EVs. Are EVs the game changer for replacing conventional gas and diesel vehicles? Do you manage a fleet? Would electric trucks make sense for your workforce? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Ford says it plans to invest more than $30 billion in electric vehicles and battery technology by 2025. It announced last week it plans to transition an estimated 40% of its annual sales volume to EVs by 2030. Are you in the market? Have you taken an electric car on a road trip? How was it? Still time, 800-642-1234. Jamie Page Deaton heads up the U.S. News Best Cars team. She's with us for about 10 more minutes. Jerry is joining us from Viola. Hi, Jerry. What would you like to say about electric vehicles?
Well, I've owned a couple electric vehicles. Once you go electric, you'll never go back from just a performance standpoint. There is some range anxiety that I did experience. I own some businesses, and we are transitioning to electric. It's a slow transition because they are expensive. But I wanted to ask the guest, is China dictating where the U.S. car companies are going? I mean, what I've read is that all U.S. car companies are selling more cars in China than in the U.S., and China is saying you're going to have to be electric. So is that forcing U.S. car companies to go electric? That's my question.
Jerry, thanks.
Yes, Jerry, that's an excellent question, and it's absolutely true. The U.S. used to be the largest car market in the world. We've been overtaken by China, and so there's a big push in China for electric vehicles. So automakers, you know, have to, if they want to sell cars in China, they need to switch over to EVs. And the result is that the products we get in America are also switching more over to EVs. You know, and it's not just the case too with EVs. You'll also see a lot of features in American cars that a lot of Chinese buyers demand. So for example, you know, after 2008, the financial crisis, a lot of people were surprised that GM kept Buick as a brand around. Well, it turns out they kept it because Buick is extremely popular in China. And a lot of the really nice Buicks that are on the road today, like the, you know, they are, and like the Avenir trims that are super luxurious, those actually came out of the Chinese development. And we're now benefiting from it. But it's not just China that's really pushing automakers towards EVs. A number of European companies, or I'm sorry, European countries have announced that they're going to require EV sales, you know, past a certain date. A number of European cities as well. So this is really a global shift of governments outside the United States pushing automakers towards, you know, different types of powertrains, you know, away from the internal combustion engine. And that the result is, you know, it doesn't make sense for car companies to create cars that are just for the U.S. It's not efficient for them. And so we're seeing kind of the globalization of auto fleets. And the result is we're seeing more EVs in the United States.
Jerry mentioned some anxiety, some range anxiety. And, you know, we often hear about the higher cost than gas power. There's, you know, issues around battery production emissions. Are these concerns warranted?
Yes, to, you know, I think to a degree they are. Now, the first, you know, is cost. You don't want to get an EV if it's going to cost you a lot more than a gasoline powered car. And the EVs do tend to be more expensive because their development costs are more expensive than a gas car. You know, it's expensive for automakers to figure out this new technology. But what we're starting to see is prices really starting to come down on EVs. So for the F-150 Lightning, which is only available in the crew cab model, you know, for the crew cab configuration, so it's a four-door, it starts at about $39,000 before any tax credits. Well, a gas F-150 crew cab starts at just over $36,000. So there's about a $3,000 difference before any tax credits. And so it's very likely if you go for the base F-150 Lightning, for example, you'll pay less than if you paid for a gas model. And so you've also seen the same thing, you know, the mini electric actually costs less than the gas model. So we're starting to see those prices come down. When it comes to range anxiety, though, that is a huge issue. The charging infrastructure in the United States is not particularly good. You know, it's great for Tesla owners. Tesla did a great job. And one of the reasons that they had so many rapid adopters is because they built out their own charging network. You know, the rest of the car companies haven't done the same thing. It's kind of a patchwork of private charging companies. You can certainly make it across the country on an electric car, but it is more challenging than in a gas car. But, you know, what I think a lot of buyers, you know, need to keep in mind is that on a, their daily driving, if they're driving less than, you know, 200 miles, which the vast majority of people are, and they have, you know, a home where they can charge, that's where the majority of their charge is going to be. It's a little bit of a mental shift to remember, okay, my gas station is in my house. And, you know, if you're really concerned about emissions at the tailpipe, then, you know, for your road trips, go ahead and rent a gasoline powered car. And then on your, you know, for the 1 to 2 weeks, you know, a year that you're on, you know, the long road trips, but then have, you know, the EV for your daily driving. That'll do a lot to cut down, you know, your carbon emissions. But you also raise a really good point about, you know, battery manufacturing. These batteries, though they're shifting, they're starting to shift away from this. The majority of EV batteries are being made with rare earth minerals that are mined in places without a lot of environmental controls. There's concerns about the workers in these mines, you know, being, you know, not treated very well. And then the actual process of creating these batteries can be quite dirty. And then there's also the issue of battery disposal at the end of the EV's life. Overall, though, you know, it's just overall, the EVs do tend to be cleaner because, you know, there's also a lot of problems with drilling for oil and refining oil and then, you know, expelling carbon as you're driving it. So it's just, I think, you know, it's a personal choice that people really have to look at, you know, look at the cost, look at how you drive. You know, if you're routinely driving you know, on a long road trip every week, an EV is probably not for you yet until the charging infrastructure catches up. And if you're really concerned about, you know, the emissions process or, you know, the process of creating the batteries, then, you know, it's probably not for you yet until that gets cleaned up. But ultimately, it's, you know, up to every individual buyer.
Yeah. So really examining those trade-offs. As we talk with Jamie Page Deaton, executive editor of the U.S. News Best Cars team, Paul from Richland Center on the topic of a gas station in my house. Paul, go ahead.
I just have a question related to that idea of the charging station. I'm all in favor of electric vehicles, whether it's a truck or a car, but in my particular town, we have only two public charging stations. Well, people aren't going to go to a parking lot and recharge. They're going to want to put it in their house, and you just can't plug these into a garage outlet. So how much does it cost to put in a charging station for either a truck or a car? And can local electricians, do they have the knowledge yet to even do that? And I guess that's my question, is about the charging aspect of it.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. So you might be surprised at how little these charging stations actually cost. In fact, Ford's, if you buy the upper trim of the Lightning, they'll give you a charging station and then you just pay for the installation. And, you know, I don't know about the cost of charging stations in Wisconsin, but I'm based in D.C. And so I'm going to guess that it's less expensive in Wisconsin just because things, you know, cost of living here is a little bit more expensive. And I've been researching a charging station for my own house. The charging station itself runs about $600. And then any licensed electrician can actually install these. They're not that difficult. It's on par with having a 240-volt outlet installed in your house. So if you're getting a, you know, a dryer outlet basically installed, that electrician can do it. And around here, you know, it takes an electrician about half a day. And so, you know, you're looking at, you know, $600 for the charger and then maybe another $600, you know, for installation if it takes the electrician 6 hours. Those are DC prices. The other thing is, you know, you may have local and state tax credits and tax breaks and incentives for installing these charging stations in your house. And, you know, to the other point, too, you actually can plug an EV into the outlets in your house. It'll just take a super long time for them to charge. I've plugged many EVs that I've tested into the, you know, 110-volt outlets in my garage. It takes a good 24 hours to get a full charge, but they can do it. You can also just plug them into a regular 240-volt outlet. So if you have like an old dryer outlet in your house, you can plug them in. It just takes a lot longer to charge them at that point. But they draw about as much electricity as a refrigerator.
Jamie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jamie Page Deaton is executive editor of the U.S. News Best Cars team. This is the Ideas Network.